function to be at this function last year also, and I hope I can be present in the future annual day celebrations, and I also hope to be associated more with educational projects of this sort, which are based on a different principle. The main principle, according to our shastras, is devotion to God. Bhakti is the foundation of life. It is the source of life. It is the purpose of life. Everything in our life must be connected to this ultimate goal of our life. Otherwise, it is futile. Today's modern educational system, like everything else in the modern day world, is completely disconnected from the ultimate goal of life, which is devotion to God. In our search for technology, for commercial excellence, for empowering children to be able to succeed materially in the world by getting good degrees in the universities, getting good jobs, somewhere between our fingers, the real purpose of education and life itself has slipped through and fallen away. No doubt, we need to also have some skills and abilities in order to survive in this world. And very wonderfully, the threefold legs on which Bhaktivedanta model school stands, character, competence and devotion, is absolutely right. However, today people are giving excessive importance just to equip people to be able to survive in this world. Actually, it is not a question of survival. Mostly people are driving their children in a certain way. The whole society is driving the children in a certain way, not just for survival. It is because they want more and more and more. Yena kena prakarena dhanam arjanam. Somehow or the other earn money. So the whole emphasis of education today is to equip the student to grow up and be able to earn a lot of money and become wealthy, famous, have all the facilities that are necessary to live a luxurious life. And today, just see the values or the things that the parents are more concerned with in general in the outside world. Today, if today when आधी बरोबर होता पूर्वी जसं होतं तसंच करा. So today parents also do not understand the goal of life. So how will they give it to their parents, to their children? Many parents in their heart today are thinking, my child should grow up and maybe go to a good university, get a good job and then go to America, go to England, go to Australia. It is a matter of pride in the society. When the children are asked, where is your child? My child, oh, he's in America. Oh, really, your child is in America. So it is more a question of status, of prestige. So now education is seen as a gateway to wealth, as a gateway to going to some Western country, as a gateway to status and prestige. In the midst of all this, where is the ultimate goal of life? Where are the children being taught that the goal of life is not to go to America? The goal of life is not to just live a luxurious life, not to simply earn money and become a very reputed individual in the society. That, according to our Shastras, will happen or not happen according to one's destiny, according to Bhagya. One has to put in honest endeavors and lead a life of value, of devotion, of principle, of character. But unfortunately today the razzle dazzle and glitter glamour of the outside world is so powerful that all their parents now, all the parents today want their children to be part of that razzle dazzle modern day culture, glitter and glamour, jet set culture. One of our sannyasis had gone to one of the famous temples in India, in some place in South India. And the head pujari of that temple, he approached him, because this sannyasi was living in the Western countries. So this head pujari approached him and he said, "You see, I have two sons. Both are young now. The younger one is not intelligent. So I will make him a pujari in the temple. So he will serve God over here. But the older one is very intelligent. Can you send him to America for me?" So even those who are in the temple or those who are trying to lead a spiritual life, for them, serving God is for those who are not very capable, not very intelligent, who can't do anything in the outside world. And because the older boy is more intelligent, so he wants to send him to America so he can earn a lot of money. So this is the dilemma. This is the unfortunate situation of our modern times. Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam has given us a different understanding. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaranam Padasevanam Vandanam Archanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam Iti Punsarpita Vishno Bhaktischin Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadhyā Tandhita Manya Uttamam. Prahlad says that this ninefold processes of bhakti, starting with hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, remembering the Lord, etc. This is called Navadha Bhakti. He says, Iti Punsarpita Vishno Bhaktis Chen Navalakshana. This type of ninefold bhakti with nine types, nine limbs, Navalakshana, is the topmost education. Then Adhitam Uttamam. Adhitam means learning. So to cultivate pure devotion to the Supreme Lord Sri Hari is the topmost learning. If somebody has the greatest devotion in this, has great devotion for the Supreme Lord, we should understand that person to be the most learned person in the world. In the Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudevah Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabhah. After many, many lifetimes of accumulating knowledge, Jnanarjanam, a very rare soul comes to the point of perfection of knowledge, which is to understand that Vasudevah Sarvam Iti. Vasudev or Lord Krishna is everything. He is the source of everything. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabhah. Such a Mahatma is very rare. So the perfection of knowledge is to surrender to God, to become His pure devotee. And by cultivation of such devotion, that is understood to be the perfection of learning. Now our Vedic culture is not impractical. The Vedic culture doesn't say that you simply cultivate devotion and don't teach your children how to survive in this world. No, the Vedic culture also teaches and equips the children to survive very nicely in this world, but not nicely according to the modern day principles of yena kena prakarena dhanam arjanam, that somehow or the other just earn money. That is not the principle. The idea is to live a simple life, a life of simplicity, a life of purity, which is therefore a life of devotion and happiness. It is not that we need so many things in this world to be happy. Today we have got spoiled by too many things that we think are necessary. Actually, we are surrounded by so-called necessities which are actually unnecessary, and that which is unnecessary which we bring into our life will always cause confusion and suffering. So wisdom demands that we accept in our life only as much as we really need to minimize our needs, live a simple, decent, fulfilling, happy life, a spiritual life. And then as we work with honesty, with integrity, with devotion, then according to our bhagya, according to our prarabdha, our destiny, whatever wealth, prestige has to come, will come. The shastras tell us, yena kena prakarena manah krishna niveshayet. Somehow or the other, the child's mind must be made to focus on Lord Krishna. The spirit of devotion must be cultivated from childhood. When a building is being constructed, then a lot of cement mortar is used. And some of you may be familiar with the construction process. Several ingredients are mixed. And water, of course, is very necessary. And we have to keep on mixing the ingredients in the water. And gradually, with the mixing process, the cement starts setting in slowly. Initially, the cement or the mortar is like paste, is like a watery paste. But gradually, as it begins to set, then it becomes harder. And whatever shape you give that mortar in the early stages of its production, that shape the cement will eventually take. Just like in sculpture, you make molds. So according to how you mold the substance, accordingly it will harden and solidify and assume that form. So our chitta, our consciousness, is like that. In childhood, the consciousness is very impressionable. It is very pure. Good or bad samskaras will be easily impacted on the consciousness. The impressions that are formed on the child's consciousness are called samskara. Generally, the word samskar means good samskars. The reason I got late today, unfortunately, for coming here is because we had a Samskrita Sammelan going on simultaneously in another part of the temple, where the topic of discussion was samskar, samskrit, samskriti. And they are all connected. And I was also mentioning there that another sum is very important, that is samkirtana, the chanting of the names of God. So from the beginning, if these are imparted to the child, the consciousness of the child is molded, the character, the thinking, the vritti or the propensity of the child is also suitably developed. Therefore, in our Vedic culture, we do not talk about giving sanskars from the beginning of school days, which is around the age of 5 or 6. Or it's called Vidyarambha. Usually that happens at the age of 5. But actually, the samskaras are given not just at the age of 5, not at the age of 3 or 2 or 1, not even when the child is in the womb. It happens before that. This is called the Garbhadhana Samskara, where the mother and father, to be mother and to be father, come together in a spiritual bent of mind with the idea of procreating a child, of begetting a child who will have very strong spiritual inclinations, who will be a noble citizen of this world, who will do good to others. So the parents-to-be actually perform many spiritual activities and they pray to God that we are about to begin the process of trying to beget a child. Please, O Lord Krishna, please send us a child who will be pure in heart, pure in intelligence, sharp in intelligence, good and strong in health, noble in character, and above all, very devotional in nature, who will become a great asset to this world by his or her character, devotion, and competence. So by such intense prayer and absorbing the mind in such devotional matters and prayer, one attracts a suitable soul to become one's child. This is a very great science, sukshma vijnana, subtle science. And unfortunately, the modern day world doesn't know these things. So then the Lord sends karmana daiva netrena, by divine arrangements, by daiva, then a suitable soul is sent to become the child of this to-be mother and father. And then once the garbhadharana takes place, then the garbha samskar begin. So garbhadhana samskar, then there is garbha samskar. In the garbha samskar, good impressions are given to the child to mold the character and personality and the spiritual nature of the child. It is recommended in our shastras that the mother especially and all members of the family in general should lead a very, very devotional spiritual life. The atmosphere in the home should be very pleasant. There should be no quarreling, no arguments. As far as possible, there should be no stress for anyone, especially for the mother who is bearing the child in her womb. Then the child absorbs all these positive impressions. And when the child is born, the samskaras continue, of course. From the time of birth, the parents and others around them will try to give good samskaras to the child. And in this way, the child grows up. And then Vidyarambha takes place. The formal education begins. But actually, education begins even before the conception of the child has taken place, even from the time of Garbhadhana Samskar. So education begins there. Just see the kind of vast scope and vision of our culture. Today people are thinking of education from the age of 5, 6, go to school, learn mathematics, geography, history, get good marks in the 10th standard, Gain good marks in the 12th standard, get into medical college, become a chartered accountant, doctor, engineer, then do some post-graduation, get a good job, make a lot of money. This is the concept of education. But just see how sublime and wide our concept of education is. And where does it begin? It begins even before the child is conceived. The parents have to prepare many days in advance. Months in advance, the preparation has to be done before the Garbhadhana can take place. So this is the purpose of education, to give the right samskaras to the children, so that when they grow up, that mold will set in such a wonderful way, then the character is built. The svabhav or the nature of the child is formed, well formed. That is the meaning of samskara. Sham, shamdhatu and kara. Well formed or auspicious, mangalmaya. This is what education is about, to give the good right samskars to the children. Once that is done, then the matter of learning the skills required to be able to survive in this world is not a big job. Some of our grihastha devotees are homeschooling their children. In different places when I travel, I meet such parents. And many of them say that the syllabus that is given in the schools, under whatever board of education they may be attached to, that actual teaching can be done in just 3 months. That is their experience. In 3 months, they are able to finish the whole year syllabus comfortably when they are teaching them at home. I mean, all told, or 4 months, let us say 5 months. And they have ample time to give many devotional samskars to the children. They have time to give the children exposure to many practical skills which our modern day students don't get exposed to. For example, we saw some nice pictures here of Bhaktivedanta Model School. The children are taught how to grow food, how to grow crops, how to grow fruit, vegetables, flowers. They work with their hands. They learn how to live in harmony with God's nature, with God's creation. Their consciousness becomes well-rounded. They develop a very holistic mentality, rather than just simply learning information and data, which is what the modern educational system emphasizes, over and above other things. Even for the teachers, the character is not emphasized in the modern day education system. The teacher may be drinking, smoking, womanizing outside, maybe all sorts of bad habits that person may have. But so long as the teacher is teaching well in the class, the particular subject that he has to teach, then he is considered a good teacher. But the activities of the teacher outside the classroom are not considered, or outside the school in the personal life. So naturally, that character will come through in the teaching. I remember when I was a child, we had a history teacher who was an atheist. And every class that he would give us in history, this was, I think I was in 6th standard or 7th standard, he would not hesitate to criticize the Vedas, to ridicule and mock the Vedas, to make fun of people who believed in God. Every class there was some or the other comment of this sort, maybe sometimes just one comment, in a class of 40 minutes. But over a period of years, In many students' mind, these impressions started going in. It makes a big difference. From the school management's point of view, he was an excellent history teacher. Because he was making sure the syllabus was completed on time, the children would learn all the technical information that was there in history, which king ruled at what time, what conquests did he do, what battles took place in which year. So the children were very well informed of the data of history. But in terms of their consciousness, he was always planting these thoughts, these doubts in the mind. In another city, some parents came to me. One lady came. And she was saying, I am sending my child to this school, but I am very concerned. So I asked her, what happened? So she said, we are trying to give some good samskaras, some devotional samskaras to our son. And when from our temple we made some proposals to the school, that can we come and speak on Bhagavad Gita once in a week to the children? They denied. They did not give us permission. And then my son told me, he is in the 8th standard, that somebody came from the so-called Andhashraddha Nirmulan Samiti, Rationalist Association. And the topic of his speech was that there is no God. And the school gave him permission to speak. And all the innocent children were sitting and hearing this lecture for 40 minutes. There is no God. And apparently that speaker was a very powerful orator. So therefore he made a very big impression on the minds of these children. And today my son is coming and asking me, can you prove there is God? So instead of giving good samskars in the educational system, we are creating an atmosphere where the products of our educational system are coming out faithless, valueless, without the cultural moorings and anchors. There is a word in English which I learned only about 3 or 4 years ago. It is a word called deracinate. If you like, you may go and check in the dictionary when you go home. The word deracinate means one who is uprooted from his own culture. Culturally or spiritually uprooted. That means the person's roots are no longer in his or her own culture, but in something else. So today our educational system is creating generation after generation of deracinates who are culturally, spiritually uprooted. Therefore our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada used to say that the modern educational system is like a spiritual slaughterhouse, Katalkhana, where the devotional and spiritual instincts of the children are completely destroyed. In the colleges, universities, if a young person, a student, takes interest in spiritual life, the other students will make fun of that student. And that student has to pursue spiritual life very quietly, hiding as if he or she is committing some crime. Because the other students have been trained, the samskaras they have got are like that. In their schools, in their homes, in their neighborhoods, from television, from newspapers and magazines, from the cinema, from the advertising. So we are living in a world that is very challenging. If we want to restore sanity in this world, we must begin with the children. And the preparation for that, as I mentioned, should begin even before conception. There is no other way. Of course, we make do with whatever we have. So whatever is available to us in the world, in that situation, we have to try to do the best we can. At whatever age people come to us, we try to give them some spiritual knowledge. So this educational process is very much linked to spirituality, to devotion. And in Bhaktivedanta model school, like in some of the other schools that are associated with our samstha, with our institution, they are trying to combine material skills and competence and capabilities with devotional understanding, devotional samskaras, values, principles, ethics, character in life. And then the person, the student who will emerge from the school will be a well-rounded person of good character and also very spiritually inclined. Today people in the world are complaining about crime, about corruption, about so many other problems. The root of all this is not having good samskaras, not having the proper educational system, emphasizing only on technical data, information and material skills, but not focusing on character, not focusing on spirituality and devotion. So we need schools like Bhaktivedanta Model School. I think there are other schools also, even in Pune, which are trying to give this. There are many teachers and other authorities and people who are very concerned about things that I have spoken today in my brief talk. But they are also facing a very severe challenge. In one school, I was told they are trying their level best, but the pressure they are facing from the parents is what is making it very difficult for them. They want to give the proper sanskars to the children in the school, but the parental pressure is such that they are not able to do that effectively. So those who are like-minded, as far as the proper principles of education are concerned, should come together and should nourish each other, encourage each other, share notes with each other, and in this way we will be able to help the society and create a world in which we will be happy to live. Not a world that is full of hatred, full of violence, crime, all sorts of disturbance, physical, mental, intellectual, spiritual, economic, technical. So I'm very, very thankful to the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Model School for their devotion, for the way they have trained the children. I hope and pray that these efforts will continue on. Rest assured that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the blessings of Lord Krishna, you will be successful in your endeavor. Many challenges will come in your way. Please do not be discouraged by them. Please continue on in right earnest. I also want to thank Radhesham Prabhu and the other devotees here in Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple for having facilitated such a program over here in the temple and giving assistance to the devotees who are involved in this school project. I also want to thank all the parents of the children who are here. You have taken a bold step to send your children to this school. It is not an established or a well-known school. So from an ordinary point of view, some people may say you have taken a risk. But it is a very wonderful step that you have taken. Do not be discouraged by people who may try to dissuade you. For the sake of your child, It is a step that is well taken. So I want to congratulate all of you also. I want to thank all the children in the school who are coming here and enjoying their studies and their devotion here, the teachers, and also today I want to thank all of you who have come for this program. And let us join together to pray to Lord Krishna that he may bless this project and similar projects that may be happening everywhere with success by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra one time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.